Well, today we have a really special treat. A friend of mine who we've been building a friendship over almost the last two decades, Levent Kinron, who came to Christ, I think it was 1987, became a follower of Jesus, having grown up as a Muslim in Istanbul, Turkey, and is now also the pastor of the Vineyard Church in Istanbul, involved in helping church planters, and also Levent, because this is really, for us, we know that Turkey is the land of the Bible when we read the New Testament, but we forget that as a nation, and the people who are currently living there making up that nation, this is a new people. And in a sense, really, we understand that the evangelical Protestant church was really been born in Turkey in the late, really probably it started late 50s, early 60s, and in the late 80s, God just really began to move, and more people becoming followers of Jesus. And we've had the privilege of walking together with Levent and the church there. And the Lord has really also used Levent as a national leader there. He's part of the Association of Evangelical Pastors there. Levent is on the radio. He's on television, just really sharing the gospel, answering questions for Turks about Jesus. And I know just recently I got an email from a friend, and he's kind of the face on a new project where they are using the internet to reach Turks with the good news of Jesus Christ and have people waiting to befriend them, to chat with them, to answer their questions. And God's just doing really a lot of fun things there. It's still a difficult place for the gospel, and Levent knows that better than anyone. But I think we're really privileged to have him here with us and to be able to share the word. So please welcome him.
Thank you. Yes, I did. Well, thank you very much for the kind words. What Michael didn't tell you is that I do most of this stuff in Turkish. So you will have to bear with me this morning as I, you know, try to share from the scriptures in English to you. I would like to start from 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. And it says this, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." In these verses, we see that God is being described as patient. He's patiently waiting because he doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. His patience is awesome and is described elsewhere in the New Testament as unlimited. Our God has, thankfully, unlimited patience. But there's something else here which blows my mind away, that God doesn't really have to wait for anything. He is God. If he wants something, he just makes it happen. God doesn't have to be patient with anything. God doesn't have to wait for man. The Creator waiting for his creatures is an incredibly mind-bending idea. It's hard for us to, for us humans to grasp this concept of a waiting God. After all, isn't everything in his hands? The one who is eternal, the one who has created the heavens and earth, the one who knows the end from the beginning, the one for whom there's no impossibility. And yet, he waits. Why does he have to wait? Why does he have to be patient? You know, in Turkey, we do lots of waiting, you know. We wait for the bus, and sometimes the bus never shows up. We sit at the tea house and wait, and if the tea house is crowded, and if we ever find favor in the eyes of the waiter, then they serve us something. We're almost always late for appointments. Even our church services start late, you know. So one day I was going to go to the movies with a friend, and we made an appointment, and I went there and I waited for 1 hour. He never showed up, so I went back home and I called him and I said, "Where were you? You know, what happened? I was worried about you." And he said, "Oh, something else came up, you know." Such things are pretty normal in our culture. However, it doesn't really mean that we are necessarily more patient there. you know. We make others wait, but we never enjoy waiting ourselves. Patience. Patience is not a fun virtue, and this is universal. So it just blows me away to imagine that God is waiting, and he's waiting. He has been waiting patiently. He has been waiting for hundreds of years. He has been waiting for thousands of years. All right, we know that theologically, he's outside of time. All right, we know that theologically, he's not affected by time, by the passing of time, and yet he's patiently waiting. We should also remember that when God took flesh, when Jesus Christ came, he lived in time. He experienced how it feels like waiting within time, just like us. God waits. First, because his heart goes out for the lost. He waits for the lost. And secondly, he waits because he wants his own people to turn to him. This is a scriptural fact. Now, there are many references in the scriptures that God waits to show us that God waits in amazing ways. What is he exactly feeling when he's waiting? Is he feeling anything at all? Now, his waiting can take different forms. For example, when the people of Israel were leaving Egypt, it's a scene that we should have all pictured in our minds. You know, all these women, children, old people, cattle, flocks, all that stuff moving slowly, gradually, you know. Like if we look at Exodus, you know, chapter 12, verse 42, it says, because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. Here, God is pictured as waiting, keeping vigil over his people all through the night. It resembles the vigilant heart of a shepherd over his precious flock. It resembles the heart of a powerful guardian of the defenseless watching over them. It is the heart of a patient God, so patient as to walk with them. In Isaiah chapter 65, verse 2, this is what the Lord says. All day long, this is very incredible, really. All day long, I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. What an impressive fact. God extending his hands. He's trying to reach out to people regardless of the situation of their hearts. They can be obstinate, you know. Maybe they don't mind about what God is doing, but still, he's extending his hands all day long. When I was a new believer, you know, I read the New Testament first, and I was overwhelmed by the goodness and mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then I read the Old Testament, and I was like, I remember being shocked, you know. I had all kinds of questions. Where's the God of love in the Old Testament? What's with all this wrath, you know, people killing each other and all the hardness, you know? Where's the God of mercy, I said to myself. He's here. He's here. He's so merciful that he's holding his hands out all day long to an obstinate people of all peoples, waiting. This is how God waits. Reading this verse, we can understand a bit as to how he feels when he's waiting. He's feeling when he's waiting. Now, Jesus Christ reveals the same waiting in the New Testament with such words. He says, Matthew 20, chapter 23, verse 37, it says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. Both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, it is impossible to miss God's longing heart. The same heartache and the same kind of waiting in God's heart. There's something else about God's waiting and watching. It's not a passive waiting. It's an active waiting. He's holding out his hand, trying to gather his children together. He talks about his vineyard, for example, in the Old Testament. He says in Isaiah chapter 27, he says, I, the Lord, watch over it. Talking about his vineyard. I, the Lord, watch over it. I water it continually. It's an active waiting. I water it. I water it continually. I guard it day and night so that no one may harm it. It's the same manner of waiting. He's like a watchman. He's like a guard, guarding it night and day. His vineyard, his people, that's us. This is how he's actively waiting over us, watching us. It's still very surprising that God is waiting. It looks like a theological impossibility, almost, because he doesn't have to wait. But he is waiting. And he's waiting very actively. The great news in the story and the other side of the coin is that we have also been called to wait as well. We have been called to participate in the privilege of God's waiting. We know that God is waiting and why he's waiting in the same manner we've been called to wait. It says in Psalm 37, commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord. Be still before the Lord. And wait patiently for him. This is an awesome promise for those who patiently wait for the Lord. But just like God's waiting is not a passive waiting, our waiting is not a passive waiting as well. Just like God is patiently waiting for us, we have been called to wait for God in the same patient manner. Our greatest waiting for God is waiting by praying. Praying is waiting for God. There are wonderful promises given to those who wait on God in prayer. Let's take a look at some of them. There's one in Proverbs chapter 20. It says, do not say, I will pay you back for this wrong. Wait for the Lord, and he will avenge you. Hallelujah. I was talking to Michael and Donna yesterday. You know, we had lots of talks. They've been so gracious and hospitable, really wonderful people. We talked a lot, but this is what we talked in the context of this. You know, I was talking about the slowness of the Turkish judgment system. Now, there are many court cases that last for 4 years, 5 years there. Sometimes because of waiting, the cases simply drop, you know, because it's over time. I don't know if any of you, you know, have been following what's happening in Turkey regarding Christianity, but there was this Malatya court case. Malatya is a city in Turkey, and three of our brothers, Christian brothers, were slaughtered there after they were tortured ruthlessly. Now, this was 4 years ago. It's been 4 years. The court case is still continuing. So sometimes, it's just an example, sometimes because of the slowness of the justice system in our country, people feel the need to take the justice into their own hands. I don't know if this is happening here. Is it? Yes? But for us as God's children, it's important for us to realize that trusting in God means leaving our case into His hands. Trusting in God means waiting in prayer for His deliverance, His mercy, His justice. Praying means trusting. It's a concept which the world looks with contempt. What? Are you just going to pray about this and do nothing about it? Well, praying is doing something. It's actually doing the most important thing. It's actively calling on God, who is far greater than us, into action for our behalf. Praying is waiting, but it's actively waiting. We see the transference of this concept to the New Testament as such. In Romans chapter 12, it says, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it's written, 'It's mine to avenge. I will repay,' says the Lord." Now, we might not necessarily have a court case, a blood feud, or something big like this in our lives. I hope not. I hope there's none. Our issues might be small. You know, a small friction with a person which has not been resolved, maybe. A small disagreement at our workplace which caused our fellowship to be broken, maybe. A small estrangement or bitterness or rejection in our family, maybe. Personal problems. A small, tiny, nasty attitude to a member of our church, maybe. I don't know. But our sizes, our measures, whether they are small or great, don't matter in the kingdom of God. It's interesting that it says leave room for God's wrath. Because if we don't, it seems like our anger might be taking the place of God's wrath. Very interesting, isn't it? In Psalm 40, it says, "I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry." Hallelujah. But I waited patiently for the Lord. Maybe we need to relearn the concept of waiting patiently. We have imported all the instants from the States to Turkey. You know, instant connection to internet via your cell phone, wherever you are. Instant cafe, instant food. You know, 2 months ago, I realized that even Starbucks in Turkey started selling instant cafe. Instant cafe in Starbucks, come on. However, it doesn't work so instantly in the kingdom of God. There is no instant answers to all prayers. To some prayers, yes, thankfully, but not to all prayers. But our current culture of instance do not translate into the culture of the kingdom of God. Relationships are not instant. Our relationship with God is not instant. And I don't know about you, but I rarely receive answer to my prayers instantly. I waited patiently for the Lord. That was, what, 2,700 years ago. Maybe we have to relearn the concept of waiting patiently for the Lord. Why is this? Why in the world do we have to wait for the Lord? Why do we have to cry out, groan in the spirit, shed tears, give time to prayer? Why? Part of the reason why is that God is more interested in spending time with us. He wants relationship. He wants us to enjoy having relationship with Him, having fellowship with Him, spending time with Him. He wants us to enjoy Him. He wants us to realize that prayer is not just asking. Even building human relationships take time. How much time can we give to build our relationship with our God? He's a father. And no father wants to feel like he's being treated like a vending machine. Abs- absolutely no father. I don't have children, but I'm pretty sure that all fathers would love to know that their children actually come to them because they love them. They come to them simply because they have missed them. They come to them because they actually enjoy being with them. Fathers want to be loved, enjoyed, missed, appreciated. So does our Heavenly Father. Not because He needs it, but because He loves it. We are the ones who need it. We are the ones who need intimacy with God. We are the ones who need to spend time with God. We are the ones who need to be soaked in the peace and joy and power of His presence. We are the ones who need. We have seen that our Father waits. And since we have been called to imitate Him, we also need to learn how to wait in a meaningful way, in prayer, with a sincere heart, with genuine humility, in truth and in trust. In Isaiah chapter 30, it says, "Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you." Yes. The Lord longs to be gracious to you, people of God. "Therefore, He will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for Him." Yesterday, I saw something on Facebook. One of the rare, maybe worthy things that I see these days there, you know. It says, "God is not mad at you. He's mad about you." I don't know, maybe you've seen this before, but it was the first time I saw it and I was impressed. This is so true and so reflective of this verse in Isaiah. He longs to be gracious to you. Hallelujah. He's looking for opportunities to be gracious to us. He's actually longing to be gracious to us. He is waiting for some open doors in our lives to reveal His compassion to us. And yet, please remember that the verse ends with, "Blessed are all who wait for Him." Waiting is praying. Prayer reveals our trust in Him, our fondness of Him, our delight in Him. This is actually one great verse where it means both His waiting and our waiting. God is waiting for us to actually wait for Him. How interesting. He's waiting to show His graciousness to us. Hallelujah. He's waiting for us to actually start waiting for Him. Hallelujah. What an interesting truth. He's longing for the time with us. He's actually longing for our prayers, for intimacy with us, for fellowshipping with us, just like a father spends time with his kids. That's the heart of the Father. In Lamentations chapter 3, it says, "The Lord is good to those who hope in Him, to the one who seeks Him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." Hallelujah. It looks like there are so many scriptures that repeatedly tell us to wait in prayer, to seek Him in prayer. But it's a meaningful wait. Hallelujah. I don't have to tap my foot on the ground, you know, waiting impatiently. It's a meaningful, active wait, which can be very delightful. Hallelujah. Satisfying. Fulfilling. And this is another reason why we pray, to reveal that our hope is in Him. The Lord is good to those whose hope is in Him. Isn't it interesting that whenever we are faced with a difficulty in our lives, you know, a crisis or a painful situation, we immediately turn to our greatest hope. Our hands reach out to the closest hold of hope. Our eyes seek the first rays of hope. Our God wants to be our greatest hope. Ever present, always able to deliver, always able to keep, always able to protect, always able to provide. That's why if prayer is our priority, if it is the first thing that we do, we say, "Yes, Lord, You are my greatest hope. Yes, Lord. Of all the options before me, I choose to hold on to you, Lord. You are my greatest hope. So, to close this time, I would like to say to those of you, especially those who have been waiting on the Lord for some things, for maybe some issues that needs to be resolved, maybe some kind of provision, maybe some kind of health situation, and you've been waiting on the Lord, you've been praying for the Lord to reveal himself to you. I would like to repeat shortly all these promises in these final verses. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. The Lord is gracious to those who wait for him. The Lord shows compassion to those who wait for him. The Lord turns to those who wait for him and hears their cry. The Lord makes the righteous reward shine of those who wait for him like the dawn. This is what I would like to see for all of us, for all of you, and for myself too. Amen, and God bless you.
Hey, Levent, why don't you come up here a second? I'd like us to pray for Levent before he gets away. And Daniel, Jamie, there are just a couple who were with us on our last trip in Turkey. I think Tracy and Jared are away on vacation. Would you guys just come and lay hands on them?
How are you doing? It's so good to see you.
And I just want to oh, Donna, yes, please. She was there too. How could I forget? I want to repeat the line that really jumped out at me. Levent said, God is waiting for us to wait on him because he blesses those who wait on him. It's like, well, God just so much wants to do things for us and do things on our life. And if we would just come to him and bring those things to him and wait on him, then he would respond.
Yes.
And so he's just patiently waiting for us to come. And I think we need to ponder that some and see if he won't help us to wait better and to wait before him and let him do what he wants to do in our lives. I'm convinced that God is wanting to do a lot. And that's funny, but it doesn't take a whole lot of what God can do to make a huge difference in our lives and to bring about great change and blessing in us. So you guys extend your hand here towards Levent, and we want to pray. And if you guys use the microphone, if you pray, please do pray. I'll put it in front of you. So thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus, I thank you for the example that Levent has been to us and to the church in Turkey of waiting on you. Lord, he has been faithful and he has waited, actively waited for you to come and to turn the hearts of the people towards you. And so we say thank you. Thank you today that Levent lives what he is preaching. And Lord, we just ask that you would pour your spirit out on him. We know what it means to grow weary in waiting. And we just ask, Lord, for Levent, that you would renew his strength as he waits on you. And Lord, we do pray that your favor and your abundance and your blessing would rest on Levent in his personal life as well as in the life of his church. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord. We thank you for this man of strength, God. We thank you that he's been so strong for so many in Turkey. We ask that you would increase his courage, Lord, that he's demonstrated so far, that you would be his courageous one, that you would be the one that's battling for him and for his congregants, for all the people of Turkey, that you would be the warrior for them, God, that you would be their defender, the one who holds them close and holds them safe, their strong tower, God. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you specifically for your hope for the church in Turkey, for your church, for your body there, that these promises remain true for them. And we pray that you would pour yourself out on them as they wait for you, that they would know your compassion and your hope, and that that would stand before them each day as they wait for you to move, that they would see you moving, and that you would increase their faith, Lord, to see their friends and families and people around them, more people come to know you and be a part of your body there. We pray for just a realization of your compassion and promises in Turkey.
And Lord, I know there's been times of frustration for Levent, but also just for the church there as they've looked around and seen what you're doing in other places. It seems to be more than what you're doing in Turkey. But we thank you, Lord, that you've taught them to wait. And I pray that you would give them strength to continue to wait actively on you, Lord. I thank you that you have put this key into Levent's life, that it's something that you've just establish in him, Lord. And we pray that you would help him to continue to wait patiently for the Lord, for you will come in due season. You will come in due season. And we thank you, Lord. We trust you, and our hope is in you. And we ask you, Lord, even us as a congregation right now, as we are before you, we ask you to come. To come to Turkey, let your kingdom come. May your spirit be poured out on your people there and on the country. May the heart of the nation be open to the gospel of Jesus Christ in a new way. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I pray that for us, that you would give us this waiting heart for the things we know you want to do. May we wait patiently upon you, Lord, till we see them. Not only for ourselves, but may we wait with our brothers and sisters in other nations and in Turkey, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come on up to the front. Now, how about if the rest of you stand up? Now, in just a moment, I'll dismiss you. With a prayer blessing. Thank you. You know, I don't know how to encourage you sufficiently, but being more, you know, I'm more of a logic person, you know, that's the side of my brain that seems to work the best, logic, systems, planning, all that kind of stuff. But I do have another part of my life and brain, and for some reason, God has kind of turned it on brighter in the last few weeks. And I just have no doubt that this is kind of a divine moment. It's not just for us, but God is wanting to do more. And he is speaking and acting, and he wants us to see and to hear what's going on and just to be able to cooperate with him and what he's doing. So I just encourage you, pay attention to what you think you hear and what you think you're seeing, to what you even think that God might be doing. I think it's highly likely it is actually happening, and we need to just take some risk along with him. I'm going to ask our team if any of them feel like they have a word from the Lord for someone here. You know, our general policy has been not to name names because we don't want to embarrass anyone. But I would say if it's something that would be embarrassing, you cannot name names. But I know it can be helpful for someone to know that God actually has them specifically in mind. So I'm going to give us a little leadway there today, because I want some leadway too. And I'm going to give it to all of us. So, okay, Ken. Make sure we speak loud enough for everybody can hear. Anyone else? Good.
The other verse I got, I didn't want to share, but the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and those who run to it, the righteous run to it and are safe. That's Psalm 30.
Yeah, Janie. Last night I woke up and I don't know, and so but the name Juliet came to my mind, and I thought, well, I know a Julia and a Julie, but so I don't know, it could be that wide. And I heard them saying that they were worried about the future and even had some fear about the future. And so if that is true with where you are right now, and you're a Juliet or Julie or Julia, I just encourage you to come on down for prayer, and just let the Lord encourage you and minister to you in that. Well, let me, yeah, John.
One more thing, just to confirm what Ginia said, I feel like there's an image of God stirring things up in people's lives, but as things get stirred, it looks messy, right? But it's God moving.
Before I just pray a blessing over us, especially if you're new here, as we read the scripture, and particularly as we read the New Testament, and maybe even particularly in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, we recognize that the Holy Spirit has been given to those who know Jesus and to the church, and he gives us gifts. And some of those gifts are in the order of kind of revelation or understanding or insight or discernment. And he shows people things for others just so that they would know, wow, God knows what's going on in my life. And when you hear something that you know is for you, you know this is what God wants to do in my life. And so these are just those kinds of things. And so if you hear something, you think, whoa, that's me. That's like where I am. I just say God sort of has your number, and he's wanting to help you in that and do something for you. And so it'd be a great idea that when people come up for prayer, if you'd come and just say, hey, I think that particular word, I think God's wanting to do something about that in me. and then let them pray for you. So I'm going to pray over you, and then you're all welcome to come for prayer, whether one of these words was for you, or the message was for you, or none of it was for you, but you just need prayer. You're welcome to come and let somebody pray with you. So let me pray a prayer blessing over you first. May the mercy and compassion and love and light of Jesus shine on you. And may that light break into your heart and life. May you have eyes to see what God's desire is for you and what he's doing in you at this time. The Lord is with you. Amen. Hey, thanks so much for being here today. We appreciate you. Have an awesome week, and please get prayer before you go. Thank you.